A few things we need to get into today here. Hump Day, Wednesday, TSL. From TSU to Colorado State, things are starting to get a little, well, let's just say questionable when it comes to a lot of programs during the most recent COVID-19 pandemic. And also, I got to say, we're starting to see more and more upsets occur in different sports, both hockey and the National Basketball Association. So should we expect chaos come playoff time? We'll explain. Tyler, Will, Wednesday TSL. It's on the air now.
Live, local, and on your radio from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1. The Sports Animal.
Yeah, starting line is back on your radio, 6:02 for a Wednesday morning, August 5th edition, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Yeah, one of the largest upsets in NBA's history occurred yesterday. 27 years it's been since an upset of this magnitude has occurred, and congratulations to the Kevin Durant-less, Kyrie Irving-less, DeAndre Jordan-less. I mean, I can go through a list of players who are not on the Brooklyn Nets roster right now due to COVID or recovering from injury. Spencer Dinwiddie. If you want to intrigue, let me put it this way: if you want to inform yourself, if you want to be intrigued, you need to go check out yesterday's box score between Brooklyn and Milwaukee. We'll get into that a little bit more before 9 a.m. this morning. Also, there's a particular head-scratching situation and concerning situation occurring. Colorado State, we'll get into that coming up before 9 a.m. this morning. We get started, though, with, well, yesterday's news that came out of Fort Worth, and it's really not the first time that we've heard any kind of accusations coming from Gary Patterson's program, but TCU's football coach this morning, Will West, as well as yesterday, apologizing for repeating racial slurs. There was an allegation that Tuesday that he repeated a racial slur while instructing a player to stop using the word in a team meeting, which led to a group of players skipping practice. Dylan Jordan, he is a linebacker there at TCU, accused Patterson on Twitter of using a racial slur during Sunday's practice. Numerous defensive players didn't show up for a planned practice. This isn't good, man. This does not look good. And on top of everything that's now happening, on top of Colorado State, which we'll get into coming up later in the program, there are quite a bit of outrage coming out of a couple of programs about coaches who may or may not need to be resigning sometime soon.
Yeah, the Gary Patterson one is different because I don't please no one get me wrong here. Gary Patterson had a player who, I guess, had a little bit of an attitude, and he was saying the N-word in meetings. Gary Patterson didn't like it. He told him not to say the N-word, and he said the N-word. And then he said, and then people kind of, like, I guess, were aghast. And he said, "What? It's not like I called him him that." And no one needs to say that word ever. Like, right at the end of the day, right, No one needs to say that word ever. But there is a difference between those two things. Like, this isn't a fireable offense or something like that, I don't believe, with Gary Patterson. It's the Gary Patterson situation is one he should not have done. It is stupid. He should apologize to his team with it. You did ask some team captains that came out and said, "Dude, you're soft with that." You know exactly why he said that. And then eventually the full story came out of what happened. Because at first the player just accused him of saying the N-word. And then that all happened. That all came out. And it's again, and I've seen a lot of current NFL players say on social media, "That dude's the furthest thing away from racist." Or, you know, and other people that have said things like that. Like I saw Bomani Jones and Damian Woody that were talking about it yesterday on social media. And they were like, "Look, he doesn't get to say that. At the same time, that's not the same thing as saying that." You know what I mean? Like, sure, it's not the same thing as calling someone that, which would be absolutely a fireable offense. He should have apologized. He did apologize. But I think the TCU situation, that's as far as it goes. The Colorado State situation is, and if you ever read the Colorado State situation, you have 9 players and 1 staffer on the football program who accused Colorado State and their new coach, Steve Adazio, Steve Addazio, who was at Boston College.
Correct.
Steve Addazio, who became the offensive coordinator when under Urban Meyer at Florida when Dan Mullen left for Mississippi State. Steve Addazio and his staff of telling players, hey, if you get, I mean, trying to get players to hide their symptoms for COVID, telling them if you get quarantined, you're going to lose your spot on the team, things like that that were going on with it. And that is the concern. And this is the thing that we've been bringing up over and over again on this show, which is you're going to see programs that do this stuff, and they're going to try to bury it, and they're going to go out there and bury it, and it's going to cause a further spread of COVID, and it's going to be a huge problem. And this is the first time we have someone accusing them of doing this. Now, you then later on had three players come out and say, no, they didn't do that. You have the Associate Athletics Director for Communications at Colorado State, here's what's weird. He's gone after the guy who wrote the piece, and he says the athletics director was only asked about it once. Well, was asked about the charges once,
right?
And as if that makes it okay for it to have happened. He doesn't deny that it happens. He goes after the piece and tries to discredit the piece, and he says, you know, the athletics director, and he tags him in the piece, was only asked about this one time. And then he shares an article in that thread where he goes after the credibility of the piece, where it quotes a player saying, we were really worried about this for a while, but it does seem like they finally got with the program. Well, there's a world of difference between we were worried about this for a really long time and they finally got with the program and you didn't do this. And so you do have the three players who said that this didn't happen. You have a piece in the other four, and you know, on another media outlet saying maybe things like this happened, but they stopped doing that. And on July 27th, they finally shut things down because of COVID outbreaks that have happened on the field. But this is the thing. This is the fear, right? This is, and not just the fear. This is the reality we're going to face, which is you're going to see, and it's not every team and it's not every coach. You're going to see teams that bury this and coaches that bury this and coaches that threaten their players that, hey, you're not going to play if you end up, you know, showing COVID symptoms, or you're not going to play if you test positive, or if you have to quarantine, somebody else is going to take your spot from you. This is the concern, and we're going to see it in high schools. We're going to see it in college. We might see it in the National Football League, although I think it's probably going to be tougher in the NFL to do that. But we're going to see this all over college football. We're going to see this all over high school football. And it's one of the reasons you have to have, again, I keep talking about you need to have mandates, not protocols. And this is why you have to have mandates that are punishable, where if you do this, you get a 5-year show cause or something like that. Look, if Steve Addazio did this, Steve Addazio needs a 5-year show cause from the NCAA. He doesn't need to be around sports. Like, it needs to be bad enough that no one would ever dare think to do it, because the punishment is so terrible that it's terrifying, the idea of trying to do this type of thing.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there, where he needs to be let go as soon as today if there's any finding of it. There doesn't need to be was there a misunderstanding or how was this misconstrued? Gone, 5-year show cause. And, you know, we need stiffer punishments like this across the board. Not just coaches who get caught doing it. I mean, it needs to be any coach who's caught doing it. Not just Steve Addazio, these, second, third-tier coaches at Colorado State. I'm talking about it needs to happen across the board if it's caught to be found here, happening in programs, covering things up, players replacing players for testing. If in any way, shape, or form, somebody else, not that player, going in and getting tested for COVID, something needs to be happening to these programs. Something needs to be happening in the National Football League. However you're testing for COVID in any respective leagues, reduces scholarships, severe fines, loss of draft picks, coaches suspended. Look, if you can suspend a quarterback for releasing air out of a football, you can suspend somebody in the National Football League or in college football or whatever sport a length of time for something that is to this level when it comes to your health or players' health or other teammates and other teams' health. I don't like the fact that there are some scenarios out there where people are like, this is deemed to be foul, so this should be the punishment, but this is way more serious, so it all needs to be under one umbrella. And until somebody actually sets whatever the standard is or whatever the bar is, people are going to continue to look by this going, well, I guess I need to handle this my own, and I don't want to be the first person. There's not enough leaders on this thing. You know, there's only been a very few leaders when it comes to, being the first to cancel things ahead of the initial COVID blow, like the Ivy League did. a lot of people are uncertain on how to handle this thing or what the severity of this thing is, still just months into it. And some people, I guess, are kind of hesitant on what is it going to cost them long run on buyouts, or what is it going to cost if somebody tries to sue after this whole thing. So I guess we're going to continue to wait, and we're going to continue to see people just kind of sit back and go, I don't know how to handle this, and we still aren't going to get the answers that we're looking for.
Yeah, we do have a statement now from the president of Colorado State saying they're going to have an investigation. They're going to investigate the situation. I mean, let's be real. You could fire Steve Adazio for cause if this happened. Among the other things is that they doctored contact tracing reports that they turned into the university so they could keep players practicing who weren't showing symptoms and things like that. This is the concern, and it's going to take it. Let's not be naive. Look, one is Steve Adazio. So, frankly, if you'd have told me, like, hey, do you think Steve Adazio does this? Yes, this is the answer. Of course he does that. It's Steve Adazio. But the other side of it is you could fire that guy for cause immediately and go get a real coach if you want to for Colorado State. So it's he probably should have been hired to begin with, but let's not be naive. This is going to happen in high schools. This is going to happen in high schools in East Tennessee, at least a high school in East Tennessee this year, something similar to this. This is going to happen in the Southeastern Conference with the coach. It's going to happen. And so this is why you have to – it has to be so terrible for the person who does this that no one else would ever dare think to do this type of thing again. And it's one of the reasons why I've said before, look, and don't get me wrong, it's not like every school or every coach or every program, not even the majority of them are going to do this. But you're going to see that exception of somebody who I don't think this is a big deal anyway, and things like that, and it's no worse, and it started out, you know what I mean, and it's no worse than the flu, and you're going to see that coach that's like that tries to bury these numbers so we can get guys to play, because coaching's weird, man. It's like teachers, it's like police officers sometimes can be, where you get the best people in the world doing it, but you also get a ton of power when you do it, so you get people that get sucked into that power and get power hungry, and you get some of the worst people in the world that do it. So you're going to see these types of things, and this is just the first of those stories. It's wild to be, again, the Associate Athletics Director for Communications, literally not saying that it didn't happen, just going after the credibility of the report, didn't one time deny that it happened, and then pointing out that there was a piece that was done about a week ago at another media outlet in Fort Collins that had where players said, yeah, we were worried about this really bad at first, but now it seems like they've finally gotten on board. That's not the same thing as you didn't do it, buddy.
Yeah, so, right. Exactly. One's not like the other.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, so you stopped doing it a week ago? Is that what you're telling me? So,
exactly.
No, we quit being horrible people a week ago. We brought everybody in July 1st. But
that's not funny. It's funny, but it's not funny.
Yeah, I stopped robbing banks a week ago. So there's police, there's no reason for you to come arrest me.
Good for you. I'm glad to see you're turning your life around.
About change and evolution and growing as a person.
1-866-656-9900. That's Will West. Obviously, we're off to a hot start this morning. If you want to join us at TSL 99.1. Also coming up at the end of the program, you know, look, you're starting to see top 25, now top 10 NFL prospects starting to call it for COVID-19. Yes, opting out. And I'll tell you right now, if you think that the names couldn't get any bigger, look in the direction of the Big Ten and James Franklin's program. There's been one particular guy that has been the absolute gold mine haul on the recruiting trail, and James Franklin's not going to have him for his senior year. We'll talk about it before 9 a.m. here on the Starting Lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The SEC has moved the start of fall football practices from this Friday to August 17th, following the conference's announcement to play a 10-game league-only schedule that will kick off September 26th. Teams will be allowed up to 14 hours per week of strength and conditioning, meetings, and walkthroughs beginning Friday and running through the 16th. The Sun Belt Conference has approved a football schedule that includes 8 league games and up to 4 non-conference games this football season. The league is set to begin Labor Day weekend, but can move games up to Week 0, which is Saturday, August 29th. Knox County Schools announced they would delay the start of classes until the 24th of August, but Jesse Smithy of Five Star Preps reports that there's been no change to the Week 1 schedule for football as of now. Meanwhile, Greenville has canceled its Week 1 matchup against Powell, which was set to take place on August 21st, as this program is currently in a shutdown until August 10th. The Green Devils will be searching for a replacement game in its open week on September the 25th. Major League Baseball announced when rosters are reduced from 30 players to 28 on Thursday and will remain at 28 for the remainder of the regular season. The initial plan was for rosters to be again cut down to 26 players in the next 2 weeks. And a score from Major League Baseball, the Braves got back on the win column, a 10-1 thumping of the Blue Jays. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:16, we'll get a check of the roads with Pete Michael Straffin. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Late.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I want to be. A walking study in demonology.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Tyler Ivinson, Will West. You know, Will, we continue to see names that get opted out, and it seems like almost daily we continue to get tweets or somebody will stop us in the grocery store and ask, oh, well, what does it mean? What does it mean for somebody like Trey Smith? Could we see somebody at the University of Tennessee eventually opt out? Well, for those of you who are wondering what exactly is happening right now, more names continue to opt out. And Will, I will tell you, it doesn't matter what I, you know, anytime I refresh my computer or I'm trying to get the latest on what's happening in the world, nothing surprises me anymore. So hearing about Micah Parsons expecting to opt out of the 2020 season, this should come as no surprise. I remember when Parsons landed at Penn State, there were a lot of people talking about how James Franklin finally did it, how James Franklin has officially adjusted to Penn State. He can recruit at Penn State. Not that there was ever a question. It was just, when would he actually get the big player, the big haul at the big school? And Parsons was that guy. So a guy who had 109 tackles last year, 14 for loss, this was supposed to be a big piece to this Penn State defense that was supposed to give them an opportunity to compete for the college football playoffs. And Micah Parsons, any day now, should be announcing that he is going to be the second top 20, top 30 prospect in next year's NFL draft to opt out. And this is, look, he's doing it for health reasons and preparing to take care of his money and his future, but this is obviously a huge blow for the Penn State program, and I think it's a second, not third, of maybe many more big prospects to come.
Yeah, no, look, Micah Parsons was going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year. Like, I mean, he just was. Pro Football Focus said they started grading college players in 2014, that he's the best linebacker they've ever graded and in that time. And so you got to think of the guys that we've seen during that as Isaiah Simmons just this past year. He's old school size, but plays like an Isaiah Simmons or something like that. This guy's good. He's got a lot of mock drafts. I'll just be real, had my Giants taking him because they need a linebacker. And I would have been completely okay with that. And he's just that kind of old school linebacker, but has the new school athleticism. This is something we've talked about as well, right? You're going to see this because if you're a really great player and your money's already there, if maybe you just love to go play college football, man, there's a whole lot of risk that comes with this. Well, so why wouldn't you just say, okay, I'll go ahead and sign with an agent. Look at what it did for Nick Bosa. I'll go ahead and just sign with an agent. I'll be done for the year. I'll go work out and I'll go to the combine. They've got, you know, two plus years of tape on me. And Micah Parsons, it won't hurt his draft stock. He'll still be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft next year. He had the number one cornerback expected for the draft next year for Virginia Tech who walked away. So it's especially going to be those types of guys. Guys that my draft position is solidified. Even if this one is not going to hurt him, even if it did hurt him, the difference between you're the sixth pick and the 11th pick in the NFL draft is not something massive. And it gives you the risk of getting COVID, and who's the Angels pitcher who can't pitch until next year because of COVID issues? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
I read a piece about it the other day. There's a pitcher for the Angels that can't pitch this year, and it's because of the way the COVID has left his body and the expectations he could probably come back next year, but it's just left his body so weakened that he's not able to do that. Well, if you're Micah Parsons, that's the difference in $12, $14 million in your first contract. So, yeah, I get it. There's no reason for him to go to Penn State and play college football this year unless this is just the thing he wants to do. So, because his money's set. So why not just walk away, stay safe, stay somewhere socially distant, and let your agent pay for some coach to pay you, and you just go work out for the next, the next year or the next 8 months until we get ready for the NFL draft, and then you show up to camp next season when we've got a vaccine in place.
So let me ask you, there are numerous Big Ten programs that have shut things down, and they're not working out right now. Just like the SEC, the Big Ten has not released its new schedule just yet. Are you starting to get concerns now? Do you believe these guys would have just opted out because, you know, it doesn't matter season or no season, they were going to opt out anyway? Or do you believe that maybe a couple of people know something that maybe that just hasn't been announced yet? What I'm saying is, should there start to be concern that maybe there isn't going to be a college football season this year?
I think they're going to at least start. Like the bigger concern to me isn't that there's not going to be a college football season this year. The bigger concern for me that there would be a college football season would be if we got to the point where once kids get on campus, you start to see spreading. We mentioned this last week, right? There were 238, I think was the number, Georgia students and faculty members who had tested positive for, at the University of Georgia alone, for COVID-19, and this is before kids got there. So what happens once kids are in classes and kids are on campus and kids are living in the dorms and you're having all these things that go down on these college campuses? That's the big concern that I have. So I think they'll try to play something. I just think that the idea that we're guaranteed to get a season is probably premature. But I do think that the SEC and maybe it looks like the Pac-12 right now pushing things back a little bit gives them a better chance to be able to try to get a hold of this. And hey, if we end up having to send the students home and everybody has to do distance learning, maybe we can bubble a little bit our college football players, college basketball players, to try to get a season in by doing it that way. It ain't going to look good on paper with the whole student-athlete thing. That argument will probably go out the window once that happens, but it gives you a chance to have a college football season still. So to me, the later you do it, the better of a chance you have to get a hold of this thing and it not get away from you. I saw there was the Sun Belt's expected to start Labor Day weekend. If they get kids on campus 2 weeks before that, but the week after Labor Day, they start having positive take cases all over the place at Georgia Southern or Appalachian State or wherever it might be, then they're more likely to have to shut things down because of the outbreak that might happen with their players while they're on campus. So, or guys, you have to start quarantining and things like that because of contact tracing. I think the smarter move is to play later, so you can try to come up with contingency plans or put into place your contingency plans rather than those conferences that are going to play earlier. I do get more concerned about them.
Micah Parsons, Caleb Farley, two first-round selections who have already opted out for the NFL draft coming up in Cleveland in 2021. Will we see any Tennessee Volunteers follow suit? And besides Trey Smith, is there any possible first-round talent on this Tennessee roster? Looking at Cade Mays, looking at perhaps maybe one or two other people who could be a early day two selection. And what does that mean for the future here in Knoxville? 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. This and a lot more to get into before 9 a.m. here on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
I'm VFL Charles Davis, and it's
52 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Starting lineup. Back on your radio at 99.1 FM, AM 990. Worldwide at 991thesportsanimal.com. Look, if you're big on the numbers like I am, then you saw something yesterday you didn't think was ever going to happen, especially in any sport, not the NBA. The Nets, they go into the bubble yesterday, and they shock things by pulling off the biggest upset point spread-wise since 1993. Tyler Ivins and Will West. All right, Will, plus 19. That's what Brooklyn was at tip-off last night. There were some money line numbers who had the Nets around plus 1,600 yesterday at tip-off. I mean, you want to talk about just numbers that just don't add up. Whenever you start getting over the 1,300 range, you start getting over the 1350 range, now you're just a sucker if you're going to start giving Vegas or whoever the window is that you shop at any type of money. Like, you know, I see 1100s get pulled off, but then somebody gets hurt during a game, a team just goes absolute NBA Jam bananas on you. But it doesn't happen that often. I mean, it's definitely 50-1, 65-1, different odds like that. A plus 19 over 1600, that's just astronomical, and there's no sense for you to burn your money like that. It was the largest upset point spread-wise since Dallas upset Seattle, which was a 19.5-point favorite back in April of 1993. You've got Milwaukee, who's looking to lock up the number one seed, but they elected to rest some starters down the stretch despite Brooklyn not starting. Spencer Dinwiddie, as I already brought up, DeAndre Jordan, and on top of there is no Durant, there is no Kyrie. So, Will, should we expect more of this before the playoffs tip off in the NBA? And you know what? I haven't even cracked open the NHL can yet because we've already had 12 seeds that are winning their opening games against 5 seeds, and now people are saying what is happening in these bubbles in both the NBA and NHL.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. The Milwaukee Nets thing, I think I read that it was the biggest upset in the NBA in 27 years. Like, that is a long time. 27 years, that's Eric Kane. Like, that's your lifespan.
Kaner, when were you born?
93.
What month?
March.
You were 5 weeks old when Dallas beat Seattle April 4th, 1993.
So, yeah, it's virtually Eric Kane's entire life. That's how long it's been since we had an upset this big in the NBA that happened there. It's different things. I do think basketball is one of those sports that can just be make or miss like that. That's just kind of part of it. The Nets knocked down 21 threes. I mean, what do you do with 21 threes get knocked down? You had a bunch of no-name guys I never heard of that just hit a ton of threes. I mean, so what do you do? You had Temple and you had the I can't even pronounce the guy's name, the Timothy Luawa Cabaret. I don't really know how you pronounce his name. Between them, they knocked down 10 threes, and there you go. That's the game. You know what I mean?
Garrett Temple, Lance Thomas, Radonius Karusis, Tyler Johnson, and Timothy Luau Cabarro.
Yes. So between those two guys, you get 10 threes from them. You get another 3 threes from Justin Anderson coming off of the bench. They hit 21 threes in the game. I don't know if you saw, I saw a recent thing with the Celtics game a couple days ago against Portland that in the last 20 years, only two times that somebody hit 18 threes against the Celtics, and it was Portland both times that did it, and it was in a two-year period. This team, I mean, the Nets knocked down 21 threes, and so sometimes basketball just turns into make or miss a little bit. The Celtics Heat, man, game yesterday we talked about, that was, I mean, the Heat took a bajillion free throws. Like, they just took a million of them. They hit a lot of – the Celtics could hit the broadside of a bar, and Jaylen Brown shot him out of that game as well. But between Jaylen Brown not knocking down shots and a quick whistle in that game, Marcus Smart was in foul trouble. Jason Tatum's in foul trouble. The Heat end up taking, I mean, just so many free throws in that one. I think that they took – they were 29 of 39 in that game. Celtics were 22 of 27. They end up winning the match, the game by 6. So, I mean, this is the problem of basketball. This is why, allegedly – Tyler, I think it's tough to bet the NBA because it can just come down to make or miss sometimes.
Will, had you parlayed the money lines, just picked them as winners, had you taken $100 and you parlayed Brooklyn beating Milwaukee and Phoenix beating the Clippers last night, you would have turned that into $7,200. $7,200 for two wins last night. If you took Phoenix and you stumbled onto Brooklyn, you won $7,100 with a $100 wager. I want to bring up something that I saw on Sunday night that, and maybe this is the NBA that I've just been missing, and it's at an alarming case, or maybe this is just Houston's ball under Mark D'Antoni. 61 three-pointers in a non-overtime game in that victory against Milwaukee. Is this just Houston basketball, or is this the new NBA, Will? 61 threes in a non-overtime game? What am I missing here with what the way of the bubble is?
Yeah, no, look, I'll be honest with you. And it's one of the reasons why NBA ratings have suffered. Nobody's trying to watch this. You're not trying to watch either it's ISO basketball or somebody shoots a three.
Sure.
And a quick three early in a shot clock. And I get it. This is it's a lot like baseball. It's the – another things that have, that in my opinion, have hurt it, is that it's the advancement of analytics, where they try to tell you that a corner three is a better shot than a layup. I think that sometimes we put too much emphasis on analytics, and when we're seeing this, but this is just the way the NBA goes, and especially when you've got guys like Harden and guys like Westbrook who have no conscience whatsoever when it comes to passing up the good shot to get the great shot. I mean, that's just completely off the table. Covington for Houston was, well, Robert Covington was awful, absolutely awful. He helped shoot them out of that game. 2 of 11 beyond the arc. Why are you shooting 11 threes when you're 2 of 11 beyond the arc for them? That's not great. And so, I mean, you get 23-pointers attempted between Covington and Jeff Green. Hey, Jeff Green at least hit 5 of them. But 2 of 11 beyond the arc is what Robert Covington was. So, hey, you end up taking a loss because you shot a bajillion threes again. What do you do? But I'll be real. No one wants to. I mean, am I wrong, Kaner? You tell me. You tell me, Tyler. Am I wrong here that I just don't think people want to watch that?
I can tell you right now that for other reasons besides Wink, I tried to stay in on the Milwaukee Houston game a couple nights ago because I figured these were two of the better teams in the league, Milwaukee in particular, and I knew I was going to be seeing them for some time in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But yeah, there are just some ways of the, there's just some parts of the NBA I don't want to watch anymore. The clear foul occurred after the shot, and they're either the late whistle or the continuation call. When I have to stop myself twice during an NBA game, I hit pause with the buddies I'm watching the game with, and I go, the official really can call that continuation, or are they really going to call that right after the shot went up? It's just not. I thought I was an NBA fan, and I thought I was a casual NBA fan. Like, the new NBA, and I don't want to say, I'm not just saying this happened in the bubble, but yeah, the new way of things just makes me go, why am I wasting my time watching this?
Now, my hope is it'll be like last year, when we get to the playoffs, okay, they'll loosen up freedom of movement a little bit. It won't be 59 threes getting attempted in a single game, 60 threes getting attempted in a single game that's in regular, you know, that doesn't have overtime. Hopefully it'll be that way. I didn't think last year's playoffs were that bad. They were devoid of star talent, but I didn't think they were that bad. That's the one thing that I hope is once we get to the playoffs, we won't see this. My concern is this is just the new way of the world. And if that's the case, enjoy your failures, NBA. Congratulations on hemorrhaging your audience to the point where the only people that, because the problem is you're playing to people on social media who talk about your sport a lot, the drama of your sport and everything LeBron and James Harden and things like that ever do. Let's talk about it on First Take. But those people aren't watching games. You know who's watching games? I'm watching games. You're watching games. Like, other people are streaming shows through the week. I watch television on Friday. Other than that, I watch sports literally every single night of my life, right? You know, and I am exactly the age of the average NBA viewer. But if you're targeting people who are in their early 20s, God bless Logan Wards of the world, they're not going to sit there and watch NBA games. So it's going to hinder your ratings. And this is one of the reasons why, as much as Adam Silver deserves praise for a lot of the things that he's done socially, Adam Silver is not getting nearly the criticism that he should be getting for not protecting the sport and protecting the value of your investment and the sport that you're charged with overseeing. Because the NBA has hemorrhaged ratings, and when LeBron James walks away, can you imagine the void of star power that we're going to have in this league? Because Zion ain't ready, and there's nobody else that can be able to grab eyeballs like that.
For those of you who are wondering across the NBA scoreboard, I know I just highlighted the Suns beating the Clippers, and then as we've already touched on this morning, you see yesterday's upset of Brooklyn against Milwaukee. All 6 of the underdogs last night won. So keep that in mind. All the dogs won yesterday in the NBA. So whenever you go to the window today for your NBA games and your NHL game, remember, some of the teams in the bubble are just not ready for playoff pushes just yet. 656-9900. We'll get Woods in here for a Wednesday to wrap up hour number one. Tyler, Will in the starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Major League Baseball announced that when rosters are reduced from 30 players to 28 on Thursday, it will remain at 28 for the remainder of the regular season. The initial plan was for rosters to again be cut down to 26 players in 2 weeks. Some scores of note, the Braves got back in the win column with a 10-1 thumping of the Blue Jays. The Marlins, who were finally back in action following 9 days, shut out the Orioles 4-0. The Cubs scraped past the Royals 5-4. Cincinnati fell to Cleveland 4-2. And the Dodgers down the Padres 5-2. Scores from the NBA bubble. Miami defeated Boston 112-106. The Suns edged the Clippers 117-115. Houston came up short against Portland, 110-102. The Mavs outlasted the Kings, 114-110 in OT. Brooklyn upset Milwaukee, 119-116. And the Pacers down the Magic, 120-109. And Tuesday's qualifying scores from the NHL out west. The Preds even things up with the Coyotes following a 4-2 win. The Flames beat down the Jets 6-2 to go up 2-1. The Canucks even things up against the Wild 4-3. In the east, the Hurricanes finished off the Rangers 4-1. The Islanders went up 2-0 on the Panthers after a 4-2 victory. And the Maple Leafs even things up in the series against the Blue Jackets following a 3-0 victory. Looking for a way to put a little play in your day? Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play the new August Instant Games with top prizes ranging from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million. 6:44, we're going to check out the roads with Pete Michaels Traffic. I'm Eric Kane.
They wouldn't blow a lead coaching in the Super Bowl. Tyler Ivins and Will West are the starting lineup. 99.1, the sports animal.
Hey, Will, have you had a chance to check out the Beastie Boys Apple TV movie?
I have not. No, I haven't. We have Apple TV. I've not downloaded the app, honestly.
I've been told that a couple of people that first they're shocked that I haven't watched it because I don't have Apple TV, so I don't know why I would be shocked by some of my friends. But they said that I know you and I know your love for the Beastie Boys, and how you haven't watched this yet is astonishing. Get on that now. So, Will, usually you're the type of person to help add things to my queue. I apparently am having you add that to your queue, and I haven't watched it yet. But others are saying that it's absolutely fantastic. And coming back to Intergalactic, obviously, was the reminder that I needed. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. I got to say, a couple of things have happened over the last couple of days here in the private life that I just want to say to you boys, it is a blessing each and every day to be able to wake up and hear your all's voices. I'll just say that. And hopefully, Eric Kane, hopefully, Will West, very soon we'll be able to see each other once again. And when I mean see each other once again, I just mean I'm just really looking forward to riding the elevator we didn't get a chance to ride in the office. So, Kaner, I don't know how often you take the elevator there back in the Budweiser studios, but tell me it still has the new elevator smell whenever they allow Will and I to actually get back into the building.
Yeah, well, Phil hadn't been here in a couple of months, so we're good.
No, Kaner, you can't. I can't even add to that. This is Woodja for a Wednesday. Very nicely done, sir.
Woodja, language of origin, not of this world. Definition, a segment written by the producer of the show, allowing the host to answer the tough questions of the morning. Spelling, W-O-L-D-J-A. Get all that? Powered by New Balance Knoxville in the suburban shopping center.
Yeah, gentlemen, what sports resumption would you say you're more dialed into right now? Is it the NBA or the NHL?
For me, it's definitely the NHL. We've already had upsets of the 12 seeds already from both conferences. So kudos to both the Montreal Canadiens as well as the Chicago Blackhawks for stepping up and bringing their A game to the tables in game one. We're getting more exciting hockey. I believe the NHL is doing a very good job as well. Now, maybe not comparable to the level of the NBA, but doing a very good job of piping in crowd noise, being able to bring each arena's routine music as well as goal-scoring songs. If there's a lot of things about the NHL they've done right, it sounds like a home game for both sides. In the NBA, they designate a home team and a road team, and you get the loud, over-the-top announcement for a big shot for the home team. Not in the NHL. They're treating it as a neutral site game. So both teams are getting their goal horns, their goal songs. Both are getting the music they usually routinely hear in each arena. So for me, kudos to the NHL thus far.
I've been just the worst sports fan ever when it comes to this because I've been watching more NBA, even though I keep saying, no, I'll be more dialed into the NHL, and I don't like what I'm seeing from the NBA. Denver's a fun team to watch. So if you're looking for a team to watch so you can have a good time watching, and it isn't just, looks like an AAU game, the Denver Nuggets are the team to watch. But I have watched more NBA still to this point. Part of that's because the Rangers suck.
Which Major League Baseball team would you say is more fun to watch right now, the Braves or the Cubs?
It's the Braves, right? It's just the youth of the Braves, I think, is a lot of it. So I think it's the Braves. Also, how are you going to figure out that pitching staff? I'll be honest, I've watched more Dodger games than I have anybody else, but, you know, I'm a Dodger fan. That happens. I don't know if I've seen more than a couple of innings of a Cubs game this year, but the Braves, there's a lot of feast or famine with the Braves right now. So I will say I've watched a lot of Braves baseball this year, so I'll say it's the Braves.
It's Atlanta. And if I'm already enjoying watching Atlanta, can you imagine how fun they're going to be to watch once Ronald Acuña Jr. breaks out of this slump? And it looks like he's starting to find the bubble that he can be able to climb out of the frozen lake. But I'm going to tell you, Freddie Freeman is still continuing to rake. You're getting a lot of Dansby Swanson, who, gosh, tell me if I could go back and buy an MVP ticket, I probably should have done it for Dansby and not Ronald Acuña. But, you know, kind of hindsight's always 20/20, right? And I'll tell you, man, it just goes to show you what happens when you let somebody go too early. Travis d'Arnaud has been a nice little pickup for Atlanta this year as well.
Yeah, I, too, like you, Will. I haven't watched hardly any Cubs games, but they are really, really hot so far this season. And Acuña Jr. had a multi-hit game last night, so that's a positive sign.
Again, let me see it happen over a consistent basis, mm-hmm. and I'll be happy.
Which of the Power 5 conferences would you say has the better scheduling format for 2020? So pick your poison of the Power 5, the Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, or the SEC.
Look, I still like the plus one that the ACC and the Big 12 is rolling out. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to say the Big 12 because I believe the Big 12 is still up for grabs because, you know, I think I want to believe Tom Herman in Texas is going to make that step this year. I want to believe that you're going to be able to see schools like Oklahoma State and Chuba Hubbard still be able to give a big punch this year. But because the Big 12 decided to go round robin as they normally do, they're 9 games, but then also continuing to add the plus one, I just think that this year there's more question marks and more excitement around the Big 12 than just here's Clemson, everybody lay down for them and just get run over. ACC's also doing the plus one, but I like the Big 12 calendar a little bit better.
Yeah, looks like we're getting the same for the Big 10, the Big Pac-12, the SEC. I'll say it's them. Group them together, it's those schools. The Big 12, the idea that you could play better, at least one non-conference game. Texas, it looks like, is going to play Texas El Paso. I don't remember who the other Big 12 school I've read about was, but they're going to play an FCS opponent. That's not doing anything for me. So, no, give me conference only. I'd rather you play 10 conference games instead of 9 conference games, and Texas El Paso or an FCS opponent or a Sun Belt opponent. And that's what it looks like these other conferences are going to have to do is – I think Conference USA is playing 8 games, and they could play 10 total, so they'd be each playing 2 different non-conference games against mid-majors or FCS teams. I don't want to watch that. So, no, give me conference only and more conference games.
Who would you say begins the season as Tennessee's shooting guard? Victor Bailey Jr., Jaden Springer, or Keon Johnson?
Oh, that's a great question.
It's not going to be Victor Bailey Jr. Bailey is best known as a sharpshooter off the bench who can give you the jolt you need.
Give me Jaden Springer.
That's who I was going with. We'll take it. It's Jaden Springer.
And who would you say is the worst commissioner, Rob Manfred or Gary Bettman? You know, we ask this every few months, you know.
I think it's Bettman.
No, Bettman's don't believe that.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Look, it's hockey. There used to be a big four. There's a big three now, and there's not a big four. Hockey pulls lower numbers than English soccer in the United States of America right now. That is even coming back off of everybody else has seen a bump in ratings would come back. They've seen a little bit of a bump, but my gosh, midweek soccer matches on a Monday during the workday are doing better than primetime hockey, and that's even after the comeback. That's not great, man. Like, and I think if you get Bevin out of here, you get somebody who markets the sport, markets the players well again, you'd be all right. Manfred, I think, had some good ideas. It ain't going to work. You're not going to be able to fix it. And so it just is what it is with baseball. And it's not like Manfred's good at what he does. Though at least Bettman has a plan to fix the COVID thing or at least a workaround or there's a plan in place there. But if I'm looking at full body of work, man, Gary Bettman's just been terrible.
If you unbuttoned Rob Manfred's shirt, you would see zero spine and where the Marriott puppets, the strings of the puppet would come out of his back. Like, look, I'm not ignorant to the fact that a commissioner's job is to make money for owners and make sure that the players are also happy. But come on, don't make it so one-sided where it's obvious, okay? At least Alan Selig did a great job of being like, oh, no, I'm here for both of you guys. Really, owners? Wink, wink. But, like, right now, Manfred's kind of like, I don't do anything unless I'm told, the owners. And no, everybody play. We'll get through this pandemic on time.
You know, I think with Manfred, he was brought in to modernize the sport, and he wasn't allowed to do that or able to do that. And so now I think he's just neutered. It's kind of like Larry Scott, like the Larry Scott Pac-12 thing. Larry Scott messed up on the Pac-12 network. Everything else he's done, he's not going to be able to get through. So, I mean, you're just biding time. Rob Manfred wasn't able to get the things done to modernize baseball and to get young people to watch baseball again. And so because of that, he's just done. And so we're all just wasting time until you fire Rob Manfred.
60 minutes in, still two to get to on the other side. We'll continue to take a peek at what's happening in both TCU and Colorado State. Not only that, but why is it that upsets are already occurring both in the NHL and the restart of the regular season in the NBA? We'll get into the bubbles as well. Your phone call, 656-9900. Hour 2, Tyler and Will. TSL's on the way next. 99.1, the Sports Animal.